I want to mind the Lord today, amen. Somebody said, what's all that shouting about? Well, we just saved. Amen. Just saved. Amen. Yes, sir. Yes, sir. Amen. For that music. Amen. Amen. And how he's really moved in
the life.
Amen.
Past 2 months, I got saved 6 months ago. And church probably knows about some of the stuff I've been through. You know, there's offense. I've been back and forth on both sides of it. But when I got saved, God started dealing with me.
Amen.
Yes. Amen.
You can't go back and forth and be what he is.
That's right. Amen. Amen. Amen.
Amen.
Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Amen. Praise the Lord. Amen. He's been a good God. He's a wonderful Savior. Amen. And I bless His name for all He's done. Psalm 23, and I still got the burden to preach, so I hope you have the burden to listen. Amen. Psalm 23, if you're willing and physically able to do so, if you join us by standing, I'd just soon still be sitting on the piano singing. But the Lord's not took the burden to preach away. Sometimes I wish He would. It's easier to sing sometimes. And you can kind of go with a song and save you a message. But the Lord's not took away the burden to preach. Thank you, Brother Rick. I appreciate that. And so I still got the burden to preach. And He's not put a burden of time on my heart either.
Amen.
And so I'm just going to preach. I didn't get to preach Sunday night. And that's fine with me. And I didn't preach where I was at Wednesday night. And so I got to catch up. Amen. But I want to finish what I started last Sunday morning, if the Lord be my helper. Psalm 23, we've been in this psalm. This will make our fourth service, if I'm counting correctly. And if I preach all the messages that I wrote out, there'll be 9 out of this psalm. I don't know if I'll get all 9, just some thoughts. But I know the Lord wants me to preach this one this morning. And so you pray for us. We try to preach today. Psalm 23, let's read the psalm in its entirety as we have been in this series. And then we'll try to preach as the Lord directs us. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul. He leadeth me in the paths of righteousness for His namesake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil. For Thou art with me, Thy rod and Thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. Let's pray a moment. Father, in Jesus' name, how we want to thank You for the opportunity that is ours to be back in the house of God today. Well, I want to thank You, Lord, for the good singing, the good songs of Zion, just the atmosphere of worship and praise today. God, we thank You for that. Lord, I pray for the next little while, Lord, You've left the burden to preach upon my heart. Lord, this is not my fleshly desire today. Lord, I'd rather just be singing and shout it out and just go to the house. But Lord, You put the burden to preach upon my heart. And so, God, I pray for the next few moments, Lord, You would cleanse me of sin. You'd empty me of self, fill me with Thy Spirit. I pray, Lord, that You'd get rid of every bit of ounce of pride and arrogancy, Lord, and any fleshly sin, Lord, that would hinder You from getting all the praise and glory. I pray You'd remove that. Lord, I pray You'd give us power while we preach today. I pray You'd give us that anointing. Lord, I pray, Lord, that You'd bind Satan, bind the forces of hell from hindering this service today. God, I pray, Lord, that You would, Lord, just bind any evil spirit. God, get rid of that in the name of the blood, the Lord Jesus Christ. We give You glory for all You've done in Jesus' name. And all God's people said,
amen.
Thank You for standing. You may be seated. We've been dealing with this psalm here in Psalm 23 for the past, I think we started the first Sunday of September, and each service since then that I have been in the pulpit, we have been back in this psalm, and we may spend the whole month in here. I don't know. We may finish it up tonight to see whatever the Lord wants us to do. But we have been looking at this psalm and its position in the Psalms. We notice it's between Psalm 22 and Psalm 24. Psalm 22, of course, is Mount Calvary. Psalm 24 is Mount Zion. For you Bible students at Mount Zion, Psalm 24 is talking about the millennial reign of Christ when He comes back again. And by the way, if you haven't heard it yet today, Jesus is coming again. Can I say this? When He comes to get the church, the world won't know it. That's the rapture of the church. But when He comes in the clouds of glory, in Revelation 19, every eye shall see Him, and they shall look upon Him whom they have pierced. And that's what Psalm 24 talks about. Who is this King of glory? The Lord strong and mighty. The Lord mighty in battle. Don't that sound like Revelation 19? When He's gonna, when that sharp sword is going to come out of His mouth, and He's going to smite the nations. But in between Mount Calvary and Mount Zion, let's put it like this, in between salvation and heaven, there's valleys you have to walk through. And that's where the shepherd comes into play. I've given you these. I'm not going to give them all to you. But in Psalm 22, you find the shepherd is on the cross and He took care of my past. Psalm 23, the shepherd is our companion and there He takes care of my present. And Psalm 24, the shepherd is the conqueror and there He takes care of my future. In other words, He's Jesus Christ, the same yesterday, today, and forever. He said in Malachi 3:6, I am the Lord and I change not. He is the changeless one. In Psalm 22, we have a picture of the Lord Jesus Christ as the good shepherd, because the good shepherd gives His life for the sheep. In Psalm 24, we find that Christ is the chief shepherd, for He is reigning and He is ruling and there is no rival to Him. But then in Psalm 23, we find Him as the great shepherd, because He meets every need that the sheep have. We've been looking at this psalm in the first three verses. It's one sheep telling another sheep all about the shepherd. For the psalm opens up with, the Lord is my shepherd and I shall not want. We looked at that phrase the first Sunday of the month, and we said three things about the Lord is my shepherd. He is prominent. We saw His position and we saw His passion. Then on that Sunday night, we dealt with the phrase, I shall not want. And we said that gives the idea of sufficiency, it gives the idea of security, and it gives the idea of satisfaction. In fact, anybody that meets Jesus, they never leave the same way. You see that woman come to the well carrying that water pot, but that day when she met Jesus, she left her water pot at the well, but she left with the well on the inside. And it satisfied the thirst of her soul. So we dealt message number 3 on a Wednesday night. We took Psalm 23 and we dealt with 12 characteristics of sheep, how they're defenseless, how they're dumb, how they have no sense of direction, and how much they need the shepherd. And if you'll be honest, we're defenseless in and of ourselves. We don't have any sense of direction. We don't know where to go. And you may not be honest, but your wife or your husband will be honest for you. We're dumb. We don't know what to do. We don't even know how to pray according to Romans chapter number 8. That's why we need the good shepherd. Last Sunday morning we begin to deal with this phrase, and I want to try is a strong word. I want to try to finish this message this morning, but if I don't get it finished this morning, praise God, we'll come back and finish it tonight. Amen. But I want to deal with this phrase here. He restoreth my soul. The word restoreth means to renew, or to bring back to a place once enjoyed. Now, we mentioned this last week, and I want to deal with three things, and I got hung up on a subpoint, and I'm going to mention it, and I'm going to try not to get hung up. But I want to deal with three things about this restoration of a sheep, or He restoreth my soul. First of all, we find that there is the straying of the sheep. In order for a sheep to have need of restoration, then there must have been a time in that sheep's life when he strayed away from the shepherd. Psalm 119, 176, the psalmist said, when he closed out that longest psalm, the longest chapter in the Bible, he made this statement, I have gone astray like a lost sheep. Seek thy servant, for I do not forget thy commandments. In fact, the prophet Isaiah wrote in Isaiah 53, Oh, we like sheep have gone astray. See, God does not deal with goats. He does not mess around with them. You're one or two things. You're either a lost sheep or you're a found sheep. God don't dehorn goats. He finds sheep. Somebody say amen right there. He does not, somebody say, preacher, I'm praying God will dehorn some goats. God ain't in the dehorning business. He looks and finds sheep. Somebody say amen. That is right. And so we dealt with this straying of the sheep. Here's where we got caught up. There are four possible reasons that would cause a sheep to stray. Let me give them to you quickly. I'm going to try not to get hung up, but if I do, I'll be back tonight. Amen. I hope you will. The first possible reason that a sheep will stray from the shepherd is because he is distanced from other sheep. That's as far as we got Sunday morning. But I don't want to spend a lot of time here unless the Lord wants me to again. But I will say this, we are to live a separated life. I believe God's people ought to be different, walk different, act different, dress different, talk different. We was in Gatlinburg pitching forwards this week, and every lady I saw that had on a skirt, I thought I knew her. Because you just don't see that much anymore. You want three things. You're either Pentecostal, Church of God, or Independent Baptist. In fact, we was in an arcade, and my wife saw a mom and her two daughters stand there, and they were dressed right, and my wife asked her, she said, where do y'all go to church at? She said, we don't go anymore. And she said, really? She said, yeah, we're on vacation with my mom, and she's in the Pentecostal church, and out of respect for her, we dress this way. I said, amen. But here's the problem. At one, and my, I told my wife, I said, you should have looked at her like Carl Hatch did and said, why don't you quit on God? But I didn't think the arcade would be the best place to do that. But what I'm saying is, there comes a time when you get distant from the church. I'm telling you, I need the church. Whether you realize it or not, you need the church. And when you distance yourself away from the sheep, we are pulling the wonder away from the shepherd. The Bible said, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together, as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. There's a sheep will stray when it gets distanced from other sheep. I think we hammered that one in pretty good last week. Let's go to number two. The second reason I believe that a sheep will stray from the shepherd is when it has disregard for the shepherd. In other words, when that sheep loses sight for all that the shepherd does for him, he'll begin to stray away from the shepherd. You see, he's enjoying the green pastures. He's enjoying the still waters. He's enjoying the protection. But if he ever gets to thinking that he got it on his own, he's going to be in bad shape. We enjoy the nice cars. Y'all like my $20 coat from Belk's? Amen. I got to change the batteries in it after service. It won't be as bright tonight. Amen. We enjoy the nice clothes and the nice vehicles and the good food. By the way, if you're in Pigeon Forge, I found a good Japanese restaurant and it's not expensive either. Praise God. Amen. Somebody said, what are y'all doing on vacation? Shop and eat and sleep. That's all we do, amen? And we've done more eating than the other ones. But anyway, so we find that we have all the blessings. We have the nice clothes, the nice shoes, the nice cars, the nice house. We all have something to eat. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to think we're self-made people. We'll begin to think that everything we have is because of who we are and what we've done. And I believe a man ought to work. Amen. I believe that. But who gave you the strength to work? Who gave you the breath in your body to work? I'm telling you, when we begin to disregard everything that God has done for us, everything the Good Shepherd has bestowed our way, you know what you'll find yourself doing? You'll find yourself straying away from the Shepherd. When you begin not to thank Him for all He's done, when you begin to realize that when you begin to think and you have the figment of your imagination, well, I got this job on my own because I have good charisma and I have a good work ethic and I have a good resume, or I got this beautiful home because I've worked hard and I've paid for it. I'm telling you, when you start living your life like that, you'll find yourself drawing away from the shepherd. Bible said in James chapter 1 verse 17, every good gift and every perfect gift is from above and cometh down from the Father of lights, with whom is no variableness, neither shadow of turning. In other words, according to that verse, Brother Sanford, everything in my life that is good, it came from God. If it's good, it's from God. The clothes on my back, the shoes on my feet, the gas in my car, the money in my pocket, the food in my belly. Well, actually, I ain't got no food in my belly. I'm kind of hungry. But the food I'm fixing to put in my belly, it all come from God. And if we're not careful, we'll begin to disregard all He does for us. And that's when you'll find yourself straying away a little bit. Number three, not only distance from the sheep, disregard for from the shepherd. I thought about deluded supposition. In other words, a sheep may go astray if he thinks the grass is greener on the other side of the fence. Now, I don't know if this is the reason why physical sheep stray, but I do know it's the reason why spiritual sheep stray. You see, if we're not careful, the church we was in Wednesday night, a beautiful little country church, a friend of mine just took the work, had a wonderful service. I'd like to shout it out Wednesday night. It was great. But the church that I was sitting next, next to a window, and they don't have stained glass windows. They just have open windows, clear windows. You can see it. I thought it was beautiful, the way it sat on a hillside, just back in the mountains in a holler, just a beautiful little church. But I got to thinking, sitting out that window, looking out that window, I wonder how many church members do that. I caught myself during one of the songs looking out the window, just looking at those beautiful hills. How pretty it was. And I wonder how many people that are in church are looking out the window, seeing how beautiful it looks out there in the world. Kind of like the prodigal son did. He had a deluded supposition. He thought he was missing out on something. He's looking out, and I'm telling you, if we're not careful, we'll think that the grass is green on the other side. And can I let you know something? The grass is greener on the other side. Because that's where the septic tank is. We got young people, they want to fit in with the world, and they want to live for God. You can't have it both ways, Hoss. We got adults that want to fit in with the world and fit in with the church. You can't have it both ways. You got to take one or the other. You'll either be a friend of the world. The Bible says if any man be a friend of the world, he's the enemy of God. So you better choose sides, Bubba. It's one way or another. You got to go all with God or go all with the world. But this living on the fence and on the edge and in and out and on and off and back and forth and up and down, God ain't at 100 miles of that. And you think you're missing out on something? I'll tell you what you're missing out on. You're missing out on hell. You're missing out on heartaches. You're missing out on troubles. Quit looking out the window and saying, I wonder what it'd be like being out there. Or here's what we really do with the church. Well, I wonder what it'd be like being a member of that church. Don't get quiet now. It'll be all right. Can I tell you this? For every possum God made, He made a tree for him to hang in. Y'all went from sheep to possum. And for every soul God saved, He's got a church for him to be in. I see that sheep. Well, that looks like that shepherd. He's a whole lot nicer to his sheep. Well, it might be because he's a hireling. I remember a friend of mine. I can't remember his name. His name's on the tip of my tongue. Anyway, it wasn't Brother McNeese or anybody like that. They was on a missions trip and they was on a guided tour. They may have been in the Holy Land. And they was on a guided tour and the tour guide was telling them about the shepherd and how the shepherd takes care of how he protects the sheep and a real shepherd don't scream at a sheep. He may raise his voice, but he don't scream. By the way, there's a difference between screaming and raising your voice. Parents have to learn that. But anyway, he said the shepherd is a meek. And ain't that amazing how God took Peter from being a rough fisherman to being a gentle shepherd? And he was telling about that, and all of a sudden they come up on a shepherd and some flock, and that shepherd was just beating them sheep over the head with his staff and kicking them and cussing them. And he said, man, this is ruining my lesson that I'm giving these people. So he got out and said, man, what are you doing? I've been telling these people that a shepherd is gentle and kind and takes care of his sheep. He said, well, I'm not a shepherd, I'm a butcher. You see, it may look like everything is better on the outside, but you might be heading to a butcher's field. You see, y'all remember me telling you about that Judas sheep? I told on a Wednesday night. I can't remember if I told on Wednesday night or Sunday morning. But the slaughterhouses have something that's called a Judas sheep. That's what they name it. And he has one job. He is to get all the other sheep to follow him to the slaughter. And when they get to the slaughterhouse, he just jumps up on a platform, and all the other sheep, you can watch on YouTube, go through the gate to the slaughterhouse. You better be careful who you follow. Because it might be a Judas sheep that's leading you to slaughter. Well, preacher, I'm following my heart. You're going to end up at the slaughterhouse then. Somebody said, preacher, well, only God knows my heart. I got to think this morning how dumb that phrase is. Only God knows my heart. That's a scary statement. Because God does know your heart. We want to sound spiritual. Well, God knows my heart. Yeah, He does. And I don't know if I brag about that. Think about it now. I don't know if I'd brag about that. Here's the problem. People follow. And here's the thing. People leave and they always take people with them. You know why? They're following them. Instead of following the man of God and following the word of God. Somebody said, preacher, you think it's all about you? Absolutely not. Absolutely not. It's not all about you either, Bubba. It's all about that Bible and all about the book and the blood and the blessed hope. But God's put us in the under-shepherd position to lead God's people. I'm not to be a hireling. I'm to be a shepherd. But when you get deluded supposition, you think you're missing out on something. Remember, the first message I preached on the prodigal son, I drug you all across the front, come out the pool of the far country. And can I tell you, there is a pool from this world. There's a pool. I got to hurry. I ain't going to get off this one point. Distance from the sheep, disregard from the shepherd, deluded supposition, and then departure from safety. In other words, I ain't going to get all this done. In other words, when the sheep strays from the shepherd and from the fold, he is leaving the place of safety and security. Here's the point. The shepherd can only protect the sheep when the sheep is where the sheep is supposed to be. Now, I understand God's everywhere. He's omnipresent. I understand that. But did you know you get out from under God's umbrella of authority and get yourself in trouble? So I preach, I don't believe that. Okay, why don't you talk to Jonah? He left the will of God. Got on a boat going to Tarshish. And a storm rose. And they all praying. And God ain't hearing near one of them. I thought about this morning, Brother Mike. If Noah had got out of the boat, he'd have drowned with everybody else. Somebody said, well, Noah, he found grace. He sure did. I just started reading a little book this morning on the book of Proverbs about wisdom, just not preaching through it, just for my own personal study and my own personal time with the Lord. And a guy made a statement this morning. He said Solomon was the wisest, dumbest man that ever lived. He had wisdom, but he didn't know how to obey. He said he should have asked God for wisdom and for the desire to obey God. There's preaching in that. Here's the point. Here's the point. When you leave God's umbrella of authority for your life, you're opening yourself up to attacks from the enemy. Daxton, we get out 150. I may not get off this point. Would y'all mind if I finish this message tonight if I don't get it done? I didn't mean for this to be a three-part message. It pays the same, I guess. I don't know. Daxton, he don't like... He's got this saying, everything is, I can't. Which means, I don't want to. No, I ain't going to. I can't, everything. You want to go eat? No, I can't. You want to go night-night? No, every night before we go to sleep. Daddy, I can't go night-night. And then 30 seconds later, he's out like a light. You know. But we'll get out somewhere. And Seitler, man, we need the men in the church to come pray over him after this week. Because he's just, I'm going to buy some garlic tonight and y'all just spray over him and y'all pray for him. My goodness, kid's mean. So we tied him to the stroller all week long. I mean, we just left him in. But Dax, in certain places, we'd let him walk. As long as he did one thing, hold my hand. He don't want to hold my hand, though. I can't. I don't want to hold your hand. That's what he'll say. I can't hold your hand. That's what he'll say. Here's why I want him to hold my hand. Not because I don't want him to enjoy himself and have a good time. I know those cars coming up and down that road. They just have the old smoky moonshine place. That junk stinks anyway, by the way. And they're drunk, or they ain't paying attention, or they're on their cell phone. And I know there's danger. So he thinks that I'm holding him back from something. And I am. I'm holding him back from danger. But if he gets away from me, thank God he didn't. But if he gets away from me, I can't control what happens. Because he's not where he's supposed to be. Can I tell you, when you get where you're not supposed to be, don't blame God when trouble happens in your life. It's your fault. You're the one that moved.
That's right.
God, why is this happening? Because you moved. Y'all better be glad I'm not God. There'd be so many people be zapped. Enough out of you. You're gone. Y'all better be glad I'm not God. There'd be like three people in the world. Maybe. Like, y'all all gone. We're calling the rapture early now, all right? Yeah. Tired of y'all. That ought to make you appreciate the mercy and the long-suffering of God even more.
Amen.
But here's the thing. We want to blame God. And by the way, sometimes God sends trouble in our life and we're right where we need to be.
Oh, yeah. Yeah.
That principle is right. I preached the other week, the disciples got in the boat where they supposed to be in the storm rose.
Yeah.
But not every time. Grace taught on Jonah this morning. Jonah, man, he just got out of the will of God. In fact, he went the opposite direction. And then they're crying out to God, why is this storm happening? Because you got a Jonah on the boat. Because you got out of the place where you're supposed to be. I wonder, are you where you're supposed to be as far? Are you where you're supposed to be? I'm up here. I know some of y'all lost me. I'm up here. I know y'all's looking around trying to find me. I'm right here. Here's the thing. If you're not where you're supposed to be, don't blame God when your trouble comes. It's your fault.
Amen.
Somebody said, that's cruel preaching. No, that's Bible preaching.
Yeah.
And Jonah really didn't even blame God. He knew. He said, look, guys, the reason this has happened, I'm running from God.
Yep.
You read Jonah chapter 1. I should, Grace, you just want to come give your lessons on Jonah? She'd probably run everybody off. Jonah said, I'm the reason. I'm the reason. I have left the place. You see, and I believe this, and I couldn't prove this, but I believe it's all my heart, Brother Sanford. I believe if Jonah would have went to Nineveh, it wouldn't have been one drop of rain fell on his head. Wouldn't have been one thunder, one clap of lightning, because he was where he was supposed to be. But he went to he disobeyed God, went the other way, and he left the place of safety in his life. Lot. Think about Lot. He left Abraham. All that trouble. He left God's umbrella of authority for his life.
That's good.
Some of you, you may have left God's umbrella of authority. May have been a church you left. But God's put you here now. But you didn't make things right with that pastor when you years ago when you left. You didn't leave right. You didn't leave with a good testimony.
Yeah.
I'm just preaching. I told you, I ain't going to get off my point this morning. So we're going to stay right here and just finish it out. And we'll come back tonight and try to finish it up. You may have done somebody wrong years ago. And you've moved on with your life. But you left God's umbrella. You were supposed to be somewhere, supposed to do something. You got out of God's will. You ever wonder about things? You see somebody, I got to be careful right here. I know people go through a multitude of trouble. Sometimes in folks' life, I'm almost done. I want to be very careful what I'm saying here. I want you to understand my heart. Some people, their lot in life is trouble. And they've not done anything wrong. We're all sinners. But they've not done anything to bring it on. It's just their lot. But some people, it seems like it's always raining. I mean, if it's going to go bad, it's going to go bad. And I got to be real careful right here. But sometimes I look at some situation and wonder, is that a Jonah? You can't put your finger on it. I'm on thin ice. I mean, the ice is breaking right here, all right? Preacher, you know what I'm talking about. You look at some people and you wonder, are they running from God? Is that why all this is happening? I wonder, are you running from God this morning? Are you where you're supposed to be? Are you right with God? There's that straying. Have you had a... That's going to be the message this morning. I'm just going to... Ain't how I planned it. I just want to finish that up this morning and go to verse 4 tonight. But I'm not going to. I believe I'm minding the Lord, though.
Amen.
What's causing you to stray? What's causing you to stray? Distance from other sheep? You kind of distance yourself from the people of God and from the church? You can't be the Christian you need to be without the church.
Amen.
You can't be what God wants you to be without the church. Amen. Have you begin to disregard the shepherd in your life? I'm telling you, disregard the shepherd when you don't come to the feeding time.
Amen. That's right.
The shepherd will call for the sheep. He can't help the ones that don't come. He just feeds the ones that show up. I'm just not getting, you ever heard this one, Brother? I know you 50 years of preaching, Brother Larry, I know you've heard this. Preacher, we're just not getting fed, but they never come to the table.
Yeah. Amen.
They don't bring their plate. They don't bring a fork, knife, spoon, cup, napkin. They come in with a bless me if you can attitude and wonder why they're not getting fed.
Tell it.
Here's the thing. This disregard for the shepherd, if that sheep does stray, or when he does, he's going to realize like that, man, he really did do a lot for me. We sung about what all God does for us this morning. We need to be reminded of what he does for us. The straying of the sheep. Let's stand together. I'm done. Come on, Miss Carrie. Come play a verse of invitation.